last one out, turns out the lights. Now, that's not a request for the last person out to turn out the lights. That's a statement that the last one out turns out the lights. The Bible said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We ask you to pour out thy Spirit upon this place and upon me. Give me liberty and power to preach. May the Word of God be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Open the ears and the understanding and the heart of the hearer. The Word of God might be profitable to every person here. I pray, O God, enrich our lives, give us new light. And I pray, my Father, bring honor and glory to thy great name. Lord, we pray that you pour out your Spirit upon this great land. Lord, we have elections coming up. Lord, I pray that you give Americans wisdom and understanding in who they vote for and how they vote. Lord, I pray, give them liberty to vote their conscience. We just ask that they would be informed and intelligent. I pray, O God, if it be thy will, you might bless America, help her to continue as she has been all these years. We sure would thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said that he is the light of the world. And if you are a follower of him, you don't have to walk in darkness, but you can walk in light. Now, in the Bible, this dispensation in which you live is a dispensation called darkness. And the world without God is darkness. Spiritual darkness, just moral darkness, decadence on every hand. And the only light this world has is the Christian. Now, when Jesus was here, he said he was the light. And we got our light from him. The Bible said in John chapter 9, verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And so, Jesus was the light. He went about shedding that light, sharing that light, giving light to a world that lived in darkness in regards to God and God's plan and God's requirements. And we were in ignorance or darkness of what God expected, what God wanted. And Jesus Christ came to give the world light and shed light upon the person and the nature of Almighty God. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid." Now, so in John 9, he's the light of the world. Matthew 5, we are the light of the world. excuse me. I had a cold, I can't get rid of the junk. Now, how do we go from Jesus being the light to us being the light? Well, we have a thing called the new birth, and in the new birth, Christ enters us and indwells us so that we have the light of God in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, so that after Jesus leaves, the light doesn't leave. The light is still here. The light of God is now housed in and contained by the body of Christ. And it becomes our job, our duty, our function to shed that light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of God, to the world like Jesus did when he was here. So in his absence, we have become the light of the world. In Luke chapter 11, verse 33, the Bible said, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." The entire objective of light is to be seen. Why in the world would you want light, then hide the light? See? The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part darkness, the whole shall be full of light, as when a bright when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ was the light. He revealed the nature and the character of God in a way that the world had never seen, nor comprehended, nor understood in time past. Then, as He prepared to leave, He gives us the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So when a person gets saved, and that's a good word, people don't use it much anymore, but it's a good, sound Bible word. Paul said, and we which are saved, amen, not will be, not shall be, not may be, not someday, but we which are, present tense, I'm saved by the power of God. I am indwelt by the Spirit of God. So I have the light of God in me. So the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, all these people who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, have now become the light of the world. And if the world is to see God, has to see God in us. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 16, God created two lights, the greater light to rule over the day, a lesser light to rule over the night, referring to the sun and the moon. And those things are a picture. The sun is the light, and the moon has no light. All the light that you get from the moon is reflected light from the sun. Likewise, God the Father and the church, we have no light of our own. The light that we shine, the light that we give the world, has to come from God. We reflect the light that God gave us. Amen? And by the way, this old book right here is light. Now, the sun is light. The moon reflects the light. And by the way, you know, there are three parts to light. There's alpha rays, beta rays, and gamma rays. Alpha rays are what we call heat rays. You can feel them, but you can't see them. Beta rays are what we call light rays. They can be seen, but they are not felt. And gamma rays can neither be seen nor felt. Now, God, the Holy Ghost, can be felt but not seen. God the Son was seen but can't be felt. And God the Father has never been seen nor felt. Amen. And those are just little pictures, little things you can find, little nuggets. But it's interesting how God works things out to the Bible said that day unto day uttereth knowledge and night unto night showeth His handiwork. You can see God in almost everything if you take the time to look. That's the reason in the Old Testament the Bible was always saying, go to the ant, go to the sluggard, go, see? Say why? Because you can learn something if you look. We just have a lot of folks that don't want to spend any time looking. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is going back to glory. He is no longer, personally, the light of the world. You and I are. He has given us His light, and it's up to us to use that for the good of the world. We are to shine the light and not hide it. The passage we read in Luke chapter 11 there said, the fellow lights a candle. He doesn't put a cover over it. He sets it up on a table or a mantle where everybody can see it. The objective in having light is to enlighten. The world lives in darkness and ignorance about God. It is our job as the body of Christ, as the light of the world, to enlighten the world about God so that they have an honest understanding and a biblical picture of God. Not some distorted thing, not some manufactured thing, not something construed by the mind of man. But what we need to do is give the world, enlighten the world about the real person and the real personality and the real nature of God. That's only found through the Holy Spirit taking that book and making it alive and real and it gives you light. It helps you to understand who God is and what God expects, and it helps you to understand the nature of Almighty God. It can take you from darkness to light. You can be ignorant of God and the things of God, and with the aid of the Holy Spirit and this blessed old book, the preaching of this old book, you can get a real comprehension of what God Almighty is like and what God Almighty expects out of each of us. And that will, if we could get that light disseminated to the world, it would transform the world. We're to shine the light. We are to be full of light. The more light you've got, the brighter you are. The less light you have, the duller you are. Amen? Now, if we are the light of the world, and the world needs light because it walks in darkness, it walks in ignorance, what do you and I need more than anything? We need as much light as we can get that we might shine a bright light wherever we go. Amen? How do you get more light? How do you shine brighter? Well, you need to know more about God. You need to understand God at a deeper level. You need to comprehend that book so that you can explain that thing and communicate that light to a world that is hungry for light, that is tired of darkness. They may be afraid of the light. They may shun the light. But yet, down in the heart of almost every unsaved person, there's a longing, a hunger, an understanding that there has to be more. There has to be a reason. There has to be a plausible explanation. You and I have it. So we need to share that light that God has given us with the whole wide world. And the more you know about God, the more you know about that book, the better life you live, the better example you are, is the more light you shed on a world steeped in darkness. Now there's a danger. Those of us who are supposed to be the light of the world can also be filled with darkness. We can virtually put out our light. We're admonished to set our light on a table or on a candlestick that it might give the maximum amount of light. Yet it said, if thine heart be filled with darkness, how great is that darkness? Way too many folks who profess, and I'm not questioning whether they are or whether they are not really born again. I take them at their word. They profess to be saved by God's amazing grace. They profess to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. They profess to have the light of God in them. Yet, the way they live and the way they talk, the world will never see the light about which they speak. Their life, their manner of living, their attitude, their conversation does never dispel or dispense light. They're filled with darkness. They've gotten off track. They've gotten off message. They've gotten out in the weeds someplace. And their life is never going to convince the world that they have something that the world needs. The darkness of the world is dependent on the quality and the quantity of the light we give. Now, this is a terrible indictment of the Christian church, but the present state of biblical ignorance, the present state of immorality, the present state of lack of character and integrity, the fact that the world walks in darkness and is filled with darkness, and that there is virtually no light being dispensed or displayed, is an indictment on the church, because we are the light and the world gets its light from us. So the quantity of the light, the quality of the light, affects how much light the world has, which would indicate that the present day modern day church isn't doing much. You don't see many Christians living exemplary, separated lives. You cannot see or nor detect the light of God in the life of most professing Christians because they look like, dress like, talk like, sound like, have the same philosophy as, the same goals as, those who walk in darkness. Now, when we do that, we diminish the light that God gave us. We do a disservice to God and we do a disservice to humanity. It is up to us. The only light the world gets in this dispensation is what it gets from people who are saved by God's amazing grace. I thought about it some. You know, there's a multitude of ways to shine a light. Not all light is delivered the same way. Not all light has the same intensity. And not all light shines in exactly the same places. Not all Christians are exactly the same. We're not little cookie cutter creatures. God left us with a free will and a personality, and He fits us and equips us to shine light where we are. Every Christian, there are no exceptions, every Christian has a light to shine. But we all have different personalities. We are all in different circumstances. We are all in different situations. We are going to confront and be confronted by different people with different needs and different outlooks. And the light that you might shine on one person may be too bright for another. So God has made all of us Christians individuals and given us an individual light. Now, it's the same light, but it's displayed differently to different individuals. Paul said, I've become all things to all men that by all means I might save some. Amen? And so, the way I dispense the light of God and the way Brother Lewis does it may not be exactly the same. The motive is the same. The results should be the same. But the way we go about getting the light out may be entirely different. I thought, you know, you ever think about how many different kind of lights there are and why there are different lights? Because not every circumstance needs the same light. Now, we have fluorescent lights in this auditorium. And the Lord knows I hate fluorescent lights. But they do dispel darkness. They do meet a need. Now, they're aggravating because you got to wait for them to heat up and they flicker and do all kind of stupid stuff. But you've got to admit, you're sitting here looking at me and you're not in darkness this morning. They do get the job done. But suppose we took all of our fluorescent lights out and went down to Cape Hatteras and got one of the lights out of one of the lighthouses. I'll just push them doors open back there and we'll turn that big baby on. And we'll get about 5 million candle power. Everybody in here be blind. Generates a tremendous amount of heat, makes everybody uncomfortable, burns anything that gets close to it up, overpowers everything. Everybody be walking around like this. Say, why? Wrong kind of light. Overdone, see? Now, there's a place for that light from Hatteras. On a dark, stormy night off the coast of North Carolina, out there on the continental shelf when those ships are coming up and down through there in that shallow water and all those reefs, and they can't see the shoreline. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for, and they are thrilled to death, when they see that bright light in a nice, tight cone shining out across the Atlantic Ocean, and they say, there it is! And they know pretty much how far from shore they are, and they know pretty much where they're located longitudinally and whatever the other direction is, latitude. It gives them a bearing about where they're at. It gives them a sense of safety and security. That's a great place for that light in the dark of night in the midst of a storm. But it's not a good place for that light on Sunday morning in the sanctuary at King James Baptist Church. Amen? You ever see a miner's light? I don't know why they bother to call it a light. From what I can tell, you're pretty much groping in the dark when they've done things. Somebody say amen. I don't know if you've ever been in a tunnel and used a miner's light. You got to walk with your head down because you can only see right here. It's not shining down there at all. It's right here. Those things are designed for close-up, individual, personal light. Amen? Now, there's a place for it. Works great in a coal mine. But wouldn't you hate to come down here and when you walk through the back door, somebody handed you a miner's light because there's no lights in here. And I'd be standing up here looking that way and I see all them little heads a-bobbing and a-scratching and a-twitching. Amen? Be kind of distracting and not very productive. There would be some light, but it would be very poor quality. But I tell you what, you get down in a coal mine where there is no light, miner's light works pretty doggone good. Your eyes get acclimated to it, and pretty soon you can see pretty good with that crazy thing. Somebody say amen. Brother Tommy gave me a flashlight a couple months ago. I've known that about 25 years, first time he ever gave me anything. And I got thinking about it. He had a motive. He was trying to make up for stealing my drill. Let him borrow my drill one night and kept it 4 years. But he gave me this little flashlight. And it's a little red thing. It looks like a dumbbell, a weightlifting thing. A little bit red flashlight. And it's got a button on it. You can turn it on and off, but it's got a crank on the back. You can turn it off and crank it and crank it and crank it and crank it and crank it. And then turn it on, and it's got a nice bright light. And it'll run a few minutes, and it starts getting dimmer and dimmer. Then you just get back there and crank it up, and it gets to go. So I keep it in my gun safe. So that if I have to get in there at night, I know where the Kimber's at. That's but it's a really useful little light. Now, it won't burn long, and it is not super bright. But in an emergency, you can get light out of it when everything else is dead and everything else is gone, and it'll get you through a crisis. Amen? It's a wonderful little light, and I thank you for it. Well, you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that every one of us are different. And sometimes you're going to run into different circumstances. We all, by nature, have a personality. And the light we give to the world is going to be massaged by our personality. I'm kind of brusque and straightforward and I don't have a lot of finesse or grace. It's just too blunt. Amen. Some folks just find that terribly offensive. I think they're all sissies. But no. But some folks, some folks could talk to a wall. Everybody I know loves my wife. Everybody thinks she's just the kindest and the sweetest and the most gentle thing. And she can just talk and she can be friendly and she can carry on a conversation. And I just want to backhand her when she does that. Now, God uses my personality to get some of you old hard-headed suckers that won't listen to nobody else. God uses her personality because some people, if they heard me, would be offended and turned off. Amen? They say, man, if all the preachers are like him and all the Christians are like him, I just ain't too sure I want it. Now, sometimes God takes your personality and overhauls it and works it and massages it a little bit and gets some use out of it. But you're not always going to run into the same kind of circumstance where the light you naturally have will work. Sometimes you're going to have to find some light and use light that's not natural to you. But God's given us that ability. We can kind of go with the flow up to a certain point. We can adjust our delivery. We can adjust our presentation. We can soften the light or brighten the light, intensify the light. We have those abilities in our personality. And God uses that to help us get the light out to the world. So why is that necessary? Because everybody out there doesn't receive light the same way. When I was in boot camp, my company commander said, it takes all kind of people to make up the world. And we got them. There's a lot of truth in that, but we got them. There's all kinds out there. And so God wants to use us in different ways, different settings, different circumstances, to give light to the world, the light they need, where they're at. You ever read that thing over in Acts where it said, and Philip began where the eunuch was and preached unto him Jesus. You ever notice where the eunuch was? He was in Isaiah. And the eunuch just, Philip just took Isaiah and just transported that thing right into the Lord Jesus Christ and preached Jesus Christ to that eunuch right out of that Old Testament. Amen? Now that's the way to use the light. I saw a flashlight not long ago. And I didn't buy it because it was ugly, but it had about 15 little bulb-looking things on the front. Just all kind of circles. And you could push the button, and half of them would be red. And you push it again, half of them would be red, and the other half would be white. And you push it again, it was one-third red, one-third white, one-third green. You push it again, it was all white. I thought, you know, that's pretty useful. I don't know for what, but it looked like it would be. See what? You could change the light for the circumstance. But it was all light and it did exactly the same thing. You know what all light does? All light dispels darkness. If it doesn't dispel darkness, it's not light. And if it is light, if it is truth, it will dispel darkness of ignorance and unbelief and superstition. Remember when I was a boy, we lived up in Shelby, North Carolina. And they have the Shelby County Fair every year. I grew up and found out the devil invented fairs. And there's no good thing can come out of a county fair. But when I was a boy, I thought God did it. Because I thought they were wonderful. You ever see a little boy that didn't like a fair? And when the fair would come to town, you could always tell because they had these great big spotlights that they put up around the fairground, and they put them up in the sky at night, and they would go back and forth. And you could be 30 miles away, and you knew exactly where the fair was at. Amen? I think the church ought to be like that. I think we ought to be so bright and put so much light out that the world can see it from 30 miles away. Everybody in York and everybody in York County ought to know something about King James Baptist Church. Good, bad, or indifferent, but they should not be unknown. Amen? You know you're doing something when half the county's lying about you and the other half of the county's excited about you. Amen? But you ain't doing nothing when nobody knows about you. Now, that's the introduction. I got 15 minutes for these 7 points. Let me give you some observations about light. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are. I want that to sink in. Ye are the light of the world. Nobody's going to know anything about salvation. Nobody's going to know anything about God if you and I don't tell them. Ye are the light of the world. Having said that, let me give you these points. Number one, don't put the light out. Don't put it out. God gave it to you for a reason. The light is not just for you. The light is for the world. Ye are the light of the world. There's enough light there for you to walk by and enough light there for somebody else to walk in. Amen? So God gave us the light. So don't put the light out. See, how do Christians put the light out? We shut our mouths. We don't talk. We don't tell anybody. We fostered this idea that it's the job of the preacher and the deacons to tell everybody about Jesus. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's false, that's erroneous, that's preposterous, that's insanity. God gave everybody the light, and God expects all of us to put out the light. And the Bible wants you to talk to folks about Jesus Christ. People say, well, I just let my life speak. I wouldn't go there if I was you. David said, I have believed, therefore I do speak. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, we also believe, therefore we do speak. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What is preaching? It's talking. You ought to be talking to your family members. You ought to be talking to your friends. You ought to be talking to your co-workers. You ought to be talking to the folks that don't like you about Jesus Christ. You ought to find out some way to get God in every conversation. I like that story I heard about here a few years ago. This fellow worked at a trucking company, and they loaded trucks. What do they call them? Lumpers? Lumpers. But this guy got saved, boy, and he was on fire for God, and he was wanting to talk to them other guys, but they didn't want to hear it, and he was a little shy, and he couldn't figure out exactly how to get the conversation started. And he was praying about it, and so one day, they was all sitting back there on the back dock in the sun, they all opened their lunch boxes, and these boys had got pictures of Playboy bunnies and stuff in their lunch boxes, and all this, that, and the other. And it come to this guy, he looked at that guy, he said, hey, Barney, he said, you think them girls are saved? I mean, if you want a door, you can find one. Amen? Amen. Our problem is we don't talk about God to people. Well, you know, religion is supposed to be down at the church house. Nobody. Go into all the world. I'm supposed to preach to saved people down here. You're supposed to go out there and preach to unsaved people out there. Number two, in the first place, don't put the light out. Number two, don't hide the light. How do you hide it? Well, you live like the world. Here I am, a light bearer. I'm a candle. And what do? I go and put a globe painted solid black over my light. I talk like the world and dress like the world, think like the world, work like the world, go where the world goes. They want to drink and smoke, I drink and smoke. They want to cuss, tell dirty jokes, I cuss, tell dirty jokes. They want to run down to the coast and run around naked, we run down to the coast and run around naked. They want to lay out of church on Sunday and go play golf, we go play golf. And they can't tell one dime's worth of difference between us than them. You know what you've done? You've put the light out. The world needs to see that we have something they don't have. We need a peace and a joy and a hope and a power that the world just can't quite get a handle on. When they're in despair and having to go to psychiatrists and psychologists, when they're having to drink and dope and all that stuff, when they're having to party to find a meaning and purpose for life and enjoy living, you and I have the joy of the Lord inside. It's full of glory and half has never yet been told. Don't hide the light. Then, don't color the light. The Bible said, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You know what a laser is? A laser beam is what they call coherent light. That is, they take a single frequency, a single color of light, and they get everything out of it so that it's pure. Of course, they amplify it and there's some other stuff, you know. But basically, it's light without noise. It's coherent. They get all the trash and all the garbage and all the side frequencies out. And that makes a very powerful beam that we can do amazing things with lasers. And you can have argon gas, you know, they can be red or green or white. Well, the light of God has no darkness. It is pure, clear, white light. And you and I are not to color it. We're not to get it mixed up and engrafted with other things. We don't need neo-orthodoxy, neo-evangelicalism. We don't need a lot of the false doctrines of the world. We don't have to color it and paint it up. What we need to do is just turn it on and let it shine. They used to sing that little kid song. It's not, well, actually, it wasn't a kid song, but we treat it like a kid song. Going to let my little light shine. That's a great song. That's a great thought. That is exactly what the world needs. It needs for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room, when you walk out that door, your battery all charged up, click that switch, turn the light on, and don't turn it off again until you get back to church to get your battery recharged. Then, don't only not color the light, don't rewrite the light. There are way over 230 editions of the Bible. It is no wonder that half the world has thrown up their hands in dismay and say, which one is the Word of God? How do I know which one to believe? Which one really is the light? They have a legitimate question. They have a legitimate objection. They honestly don't know what to believe or who to believe. Because every one of them is out there saying, I'm the best. This is the latest and greatest revision, translation, modification, whatever it is. Boy, the latest scholarship. We've got the latest and the best manuscripts and all this stuff. Every one of them say, but none of them read the same. You got 230 plus editions out there, and every last one of them saying something different. I'll tell you what, if it weren't for the grace of God, we'd all just look at the mess and say, I can't figure it out, I ain't smart enough, just throw the thing away. Now, the Lord has simplified things somewhat. So what do? Well, take the one that gives the most light and follow it. Amen? You ever read a Bible and then read a Koran? I have. You want to know which one speaks to your heart? Which one will bring you under conviction? Which one of them will make you question your motives and your intents? The Bible does. Amen? It speaks in a way that that other book doesn't. Now, when you compare different translations of the Bible, they're not going to say the same thing. And they're not going to give you the same thing. They don't speak to you the same. There's something about that old King James that is just so simple, but yet so direct, and so uncomplicated, yet so profound, that it has captured the imagination of the world. Now, I can give you hours of reasons to use the King James Bible. This is King James Baptist Church. We are called that for a reason. And we can spend a lot of time on manuscript evidence and examination and textual criticism and all those things that the scholars delve into Alexandrinus and Beta and the Papyrus P45 and P46 and all. And if you're not a Greek scholar, it don't mean squat to you. So until you read it for yourself and study it for yourself, take my word for it. Get yourself a good 1611 King James authorized version of the Holy Bible. It was good enough for my mom and daddy and their mom and daddy and their mom and daddy, and it was good enough all the way back to 1611. It's the best Bible that's ever been used. It brought about the great revivals in America. It brought about the Great Awakening and the New England Awakening and the Cumberland Gap Awakening, and almost every revival around the world was produced off the preaching of a King James Bible. No, you can't name one great revival started off the American Standard, the New American Standard, the Revised American Standard, the New King James, the New King James 2, or any of those other clones. Because they don't have the same light, and they don't speak to your heart the same way. So let's don't mess up the light. Let's don't rewrite it. Let's just take the light and turn it on and use it. It helps when I can see. Don't forget, only light dispels darkness. That's an important observation. When I first got saved, man, I had a burden for everybody. You can ask anybody that knew me. If it breathed, I witnessed to it. I wasn't having much success. The Bible said, the zeal of my house has eaten me up. Ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Zeal by itself is a wonderful thing, but it won't get the job done. So I thought, all right, bless God. What I need to do, I'm going to learn all I need to learn so that I can answer all these stupid questions people keep asking. Where'd Cain get his wife? And, you know. Can God create a rock so big God can't pick it up? You know, all that tough stuff, you know. What happens if an unstoppable object hits an immovable object? Heavy stuff. I'm going to learn all that stuff. I'm going to get all this evolution. I'm going to get it down pat. I'm going to have it wired. But I'm going to explain it. And so I studied. You ask anybody, buddy? I studied. Oh, my soul. I learned a lot of stuff. I was so smart. I mean, I was proud of myself. I knew it. And you ask me anything. Give me any objection the world has. I had an answer just like that. And I have a bit more success than I did when I didn't know nothing. Are you talking about a frustrated, aggravated person? I was just dumbfounded. Surely, with all that wisdom, I could get the job done. But I couldn't get the job done. And finally, I was praying about it, and I was upset about it, and I was kind of angry at God because I worked so hard, and He didn't help me out, and you know how we are. One night we went to this place, and I was down to mouth, and I knew it was a waste of time. We've been going for 2 years and had not won one person to Christ. We went in there that night. There's a man, a woman, and I just said, Lord, just take me out of the way. So I'm just going to give it to them just like it is out of the book. And I sat there and just presented Jesus Christ. So help me. This is a true story. It wasn't 15 minutes. Both of them were squalling like a baby. They were under conviction. Led both them folks to the Lord. See, what was the difference? I let Jesus do it. He's the light. I couldn't make the light. I couldn't fix the light. All you can do is take the light and let it shine. Don't try to help it out. Let it do the job. I'm a golfer. And all the time, the pros tell us hackers how to play. And what they say is, let the club do the work. Now that sounds good and that sounds simple until you've got it in your hand. And that last guy hit it 270 yards. And I know I can do better than that. Just kill it! Way over there and... So what'd you do? I tried to help it out. And it got all messed up. Now, when I get up there and just take a nice swing, get all the tension out like Jack Nicklaus says, and just get the ball, I can hit it 280 right down the middle. But I've got to let the club do the work. You know what you have to do with this old book? You know what you have to do with the light of God? You have to just let the light do the job. You can't do it for it. You can use it. You can dispense it. You can put the light out there. But you can't improve on the light. You can't direct the light. Don't forget to share your light. Only light dispels darkness. You've got a light. Don't forget to use it. The devil would like for you to keep your light to yourself. Amen? And don't forget that the light will not always be here. Now, you and I are independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing, King James, only Christ exalted, sin-hating Baptists. We believe in a doctrine called the rapture. That one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ will descend in the clouds, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the last one out turns out the light. And the world will be steeped in darkness until the second coming of Jesus Christ. The rapture, the church is gone. Jesus was the light of the world. Now we are the light of the world. And when we are gone, the world has no more light. What that means is you and I better do all we can while we can. For the night cometh when no man can work. Hard to do anything in darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to let our life shine as a light. We need to let our mouth shine as a light. We need to take the light of the gospel, the light of the Word of God, the light of Jesus Christ, and dispense it to a world steeped in darkness. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness and Your mercy. And I pray, oh God, You'd help us to shine that light in every little corner, in every little dark place. Help us to use the right light. And to use the right light, right. Help us to reach a world of darkness and ignorance about God. We sure would thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.